Honey, I need to fly to Colorado to meet with four people I've never met before, and I'm putting our multi-million dollar company we have at risk.
Your what?
1, 2, 3.
Hey everyone, welcome to the No Sidebar Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Gardner, and I'm here to help you identify the things that stand in the way of building your online business. Together, we'll learn how to eliminate the unnecessary, increase conversion, design a better business, and most importantly, build a more beautiful web. All right, so last week we talked about the importance of keeping things real and how that helps set a firm foundation for your digital business. It's no secret that many of us struggle with who we are, and that validation is at the very top of our priority list. Social media and the internet make it really easy to wear a mask, but that habit can be devastating. Today, I'm going to take things a step further and talk about something I'm fairly confident we all deal with. But before we go there, I have a few things to share. No Sidebar is brought to you by Authority Rainmaker, a carefully designed live educational experience that presents a complete and effective online marketing strategy to help you immediately accelerate your business. Do not miss the opportunity to see Dan Pink, Sally Hogshead, punk legend Henry Rollins, and many other incredible speakers. Not to mention the secret sauce of it all, building real-world relationships with other attendees. Get all the details right now at rainmaker.fm/event, and we look forward to seeing you in Denver, Colorado this May. That's rainmaker.fm/event. Okay, so here we go. It's only one word, and in my opinion, it's the dirtiest word of the English language. Are you ready for it? Fear. According to dictionary.com, fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Whether the threat is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. Let's focus on the last word of that definition, afraid, as in, I am afraid. I can't tell you how many times I've said that phrase, to myself, to others, or to anyone else who would listen. I said it last year when I was asked to speak in front of 400 people on the same stage that was shared by Seth Godin and Darren Rouse. I said it in January when I was asked, or shall I say told, that I'd be doing a podcast that would be listened to by thousands of people. I think you know where I'm heading with this, am I right? I've been an online entrepreneur for 8 years now, and I have said the phrase, I am afraid, an infinite amount of times. You'd think that working on the internet, where it's easy to hide and easy to take shots without really being known, that would lessen the pain, right? I've said it, and I'll say it again. I am afraid. I'm afraid every time I open Photoshop or get on a call or hit the record button. I'm continuously obsessing over the idea that what I do, what I say, what I create won't be good enough or my work won't be validated. This is me, unfiltered, talking to you, entrepreneur to entrepreneur. Let's go back in time to 2007, when I was stuck in a desk job that, while I was competent and enjoyed what I did, didn't actually fulfill me. Don't get me wrong, I loved who I worked with and being around people, but I was bored, really bored, and often questioned what my future would look like. So I began blogging on WordPress and taught myself how to design and develop themes, which I started off by giving them away for free. At Copyblogger, we would call this offering things of value, which at the time, I didn't even know what that meant. Little did I know that I was laying the groundwork to my entrepreneurial journey. Alongside the themes that I was allowing folks to download for free, I started blogging about the process, which ironically, we call at Copyblogger content marketing. You might be asking yourself, content what? Yeah, that. I was a newbie at this business thing, and I didn't have access to all of the wonderful resources that we make freely available over at Copyblogger. Fast forward a few months, and I was still at my day job, making a few hundred dollars here and there doing freelance design work for folks who were using my themes. Life was good, right? I mean, we all aspire to moonlight in a job that we desperately want to leave, but can't. Well, next comes my favorite part of the story, the real estate agent whose rejection changed my life. A guy from Boston who one day I vowed to send on an all-expense-paid trip to the Caribbean for being that guy who made the entire thing possible. I designed a custom WordPress theme for him, one that I thought was absolutely stellar and something he'd come back with rave reviews. He hated it. Well, that's a little strong, but in reality, it was not at all what he wanted. He wanted simple and I built complex. So I threw the design on the cutting room floor and gave him what he wanted. I was devastated, though, because I thought my work was great. So I did the next best thing. I went to my blog and asked my audience how much they'd pay for a premium WordPress theme. I was inundated and overwhelmed with the responses that I got in the comments of that life-altering blog post. In the business world, I learned that this is what they call demand, and I had an opportunity here to supply. As a result of this crazy outpour of I want that I received in the comments, I figured I'd slap a website up where people could purchase the theme. Month 1, $10,000. Month 2, $20,000. Month 3, $40,000. Month 4, $80,000. Those aren't cumulative numbers, my friends. That was per month. At one point, I'm pretty sure I had a conversation with my wife, Shelley, that went something like, I think it's financially irresponsible for me to stay here at my day job, and I think I should do this full time. And the worst thing happened to me after I said that. She agreed. This meant I was faced with one of the biggest decisions of my life, one that impacted me, one that impacted her, and one that impacted my three-year-old. I was afraid. I had a full-time job. I had insurance. I had a 401k plan. I had guaranteed vacation time and job security. But I also had limitations, financially and creatively. There were barriers that were practically untouchable, and the things I wanted to do and places I wanted to go would have infinitely been placed on hold if I decided to stay in my comfort zone. But there was something exciting about the idea of working online, something exhilarating about being one of those people who are lucky enough to bring their laptop to Starbucks and stay there all day to work. I knew deep in my heart this was a no-brainer decision and one that I'd more than likely never regret. But I was afraid. Afraid that I'd make the wrong call, that things would collapse and that I'd bring my family down along the way. The voices in my head got louder. The skepticism haunted me and continually grew deeper. In my heart, I wanted to jump and not look back. So I did. Jump, that is. And you know what? I haven't looked back. It was my instinct that I followed back then, and one that didn't let me down. In fact, 3 years after making the leap, this company that I started was doing 7 figures a year in sales. You may have heard of it. We call it Studio Press. There I was in 2010, living the dream. We had just moved into a really nice house, one that I thought we'd never be able to afford. We were taking vacations to places I'd never thought we'd visit. Shelley was a stay-at-home mom, and things were stable and safe. I thought to myself, okay, this is nice. But then I learned a lesson in life, that fear always has a way of coming back. Sometimes it's in the form of another experience or opportunity, and this time, it came to me by way of a phone call from Brian Clark. Yes, the Brian Clark from Copyblogger. He was a competitor of mine in the premium WordPress theme space and had a legal background, which always freaked me out. Like I was doing something wrong, you know, and I have no idea what the heck I'm doing kind of way, and that he'd find something to sue me over. Fortunately, this wasn't the case. The gig he had going on wasn't, well, going well either, and he wanted to see if I had any interest in partnering up with him to sell themes. It took a while to get over the, oh my God, he's an internet celebrity thing, and I think I coherently was able to mutter the words, yes, absolutely, to him. The idea of it all sounded great on the surface, but then reality sunk in and I realized that he was asking me to change what I had going at the time. I was my own boss. I was making my own decisions. I was the captain of my own boat, the one that I built and the one whose direction I dictated. He was asking me to give up full ownership of Studio Press, my baby, the thing I created and the thing that was dear to my heart, something I was incredibly proud of. And before we officially worked out a deal, he threw another curveball at me. He asked me if I wanted to take a step further and merge Studio Press into a bigger company. Typically the words, hey honey, I'm heading to Colorado to meet with 4 people who I've never met, and putting the multi-million-dollar thing we have going right now at risk, isn't received well by a wife. But for whatever reason, she trusted my instinct. So an hour after the, hey, I'm Brian, the Studio Press guy, nice to meet you all, we practically had an operating agreement written. This hodgepodge we created back then is now called Copyblogger Media, the company that employs and puts food on the table for close to 50 families, the one that's now doing close to 8 figures in annual revenue, the one that recently launched an entire digital marketing podcast network, and the one that is putting on a conference for 800 people in the Ellie Calkins Opera House in Denver, Colorado this May. For more on that, by the way, visit rainmaker.fm/event. We have so much responsibility. We have so much risk. But with that risk comes reward. and the reward is often extremely sweet. None of any of this would have been possible had I succumbed to my fears back in 2007 and back in 2010. And I'm sure at some point in the year 2000 and something, there'll be another decision to make. I'm not perfect, and I'm the first person to admit there was a degree of luck that happened to me along the way. But what I can say with certainty is that I would have definitely missed out on some great opportunities, missed out on developing some great relationships, and missed out on the opportunity to share all of this with you on a podcast network we built if those words, "I am afraid," crippled me. Who knows? Maybe I'd be living some sort of comfortable life, working as a project manager in a cubicle still. Maybe we'd be happy with an okay life and enjoy the safety of it all. Or maybe, just maybe, I'd be enjoying a life of fulfillment, one that brought me joy every day and one that presented fun challenges to overcome and one that I cannot stop loving. Right now, I'm writing out the script of this podcast episode while listening to music and sitting at Starbucks. Guess which road I went down? The one where I overcame my fear, and as Robert Frost says, the one less traveled by. And my friends, I mean this with all that I know, that has made the difference. Fear is a sidebar in our life. It's something that gets in the way of doing what we want, of building what we want, and enjoying what we want. It's something that haunts us, and something that leaves us with difficult decisions. This is my story, and thank you for listening. I challenge each and every one of you to identify what's blocking your success. No fear, no sidebar. If you like what you're hearing on the podcast, the best way to support the show is to leave a rating and/or comment over on iTunes. Want more? Check out nosidebar.com and sign up for our newsletter. Each week, my friend Allison Vesterfeld and I curate the very best and most interesting articles when it comes to designing a simple life. At work, at home, and in the soul. Seriously, friends, go do it. Until next week, this has been Brian Gardner.